InfoWars has been shouting from the rooftops for three decades that there is a war for your mind.
This is America. MSNBC, the answer to protect America? What's their answer? Domestic CIA. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. I could go for 100 hours here and not cover it all.
That wasn't merely excellent branding. As it is 2026 and the normies are finally listening, a chilling CIA document just dropped into the public eye, exposing the agency's twisted blueprint for total mind control through covert drugging ops.
A few days ago, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, took millions of CIA files that were declassified over a decade ago, but never digitized, never put out to the public, so just the National Archives and released them. Total vindication, everything I'm talking about. These people are psychotic demons. They're at war with humanity. They're at war with free will.
Project Artichoke from 1951 to 1956. The Cold War nightmare where CIA spooks hunted for ways to chemically hijack human behavior, force confessions, and bend the human will without a trace.
In 1953, while attending a CIA retreat, a scientist working for the agency drank a cocktail that had been spiked with LSD. His name was Frank Olson. A few days later, on November 28, 1953, Olson allegedly committed suicide by falling from the window of a New York City hotel room. 41 years after his death in 1994, Frank Olson's family decided to have a second autopsy performed. A forensics team discovered injuries on the body that were most likely caused before the fall. Following lengthy legal proceedings, Olson's family was awarded a $750,000 settlement and a personal apology from President Gerald Ford and the then CIA director, William Colby. And the person named for administering the LSD to Frank Olson was none other than Sidney Gottlieb, by this time known as the Black Sorcerer and Dirty Trickster.
They wanted substances that could be slipped into food, water, booze, cigarettes, vaccinations, and injections to dose entire populations undetected, creating long-term psychological torment like crippling anxiety, deep depression, hopelessness, or outright agitation.
There is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny.
Artichoke pushed hypnosis, sensory deprivation, gases, aerosols, oxygen deprivation, and every psychological trick in the book to break minds and compel people to act against their own volition, potentially even committing crimes while staying blissfully unaware.
You know, what the CIA really dreamed of was sort of like a drug you could give to someone, get them to commit all sorts of unspeakable acts, and they wake up the next day and they don't remember what they've done.
The American Intelligence Agency had paid for a series of brainwashing experiments under a project codenamed MKUltra. The tests were conducted in secret in the United States and in Canada at a mental hospital attached to McGill University. Experimental drugs, including LSD, were administered to human guinea pigs.
Regardless of the catch-all go-to conspiracy theorist moniker to explain away the possibility of this recent culture of mass shooters being connected to the CIA's MKUltra program, it is obvious that the guns cannot murder anyone without a psychotic madman behind the trigger. So one cannot help but look to a possible motive. And every time these possible MKUltra-tied shooters point the narrative towards themselves, it distracts from the government's corruption.
The United States government has perfected a technological capability. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. There would be no place to hide. The technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny.
This resurfaced declassified file from 1983, now going viral, proves the deep state's obsession with controlling thought and behavior never stopped. It just evolved exponentially. From Artichoke's covert labs to MKUltra's university and prison sub-projects, the propagandized hypnosis to the chemtrails and mandatory vaccinations to the fluoride in your water.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You know, the Batista family is basically the Brazilian mafia.
They can knock you out of this industry in 2 seconds.
I do millions of dollars worth of business. I like to live a pretty good lifestyle. In case this damn Rolex ever breaks, I want to be able to
play. Hey, there you go.
Scott acknowledges he has to go along with this if he wants to keep his Rolex. It's all about money.
Do I enjoy selling them to him? Not really. But I'm like anybody else. I gotta keep my head.
We're basically four companies, and they pretty much control the market.
And they are buying, like, all the companies in the United States.
I know.
So they don't have competition.
Because they all pretty much bid the same anymore, okay. The four majors.
Yeah, does that affect your business?
Well, yeah, there's no competition.
You want to know how big they are, right? I don't want to get in trouble.
This video is brought to you by Citizen Journalism Foundation.
James O'Keefe here in CattleCon 2026, Nashville, Tennessee. The big four are all here. Cargill, National, Tyson, and JBS. This is a Brazilian company. In fact, right now, our undercover people are meeting with Cargill at their desk inside.
Who's the best blockbuster this here territory to meet at, too? Look, I'm curly-headed. I'm curly-headed, ain't I? Bow-legged, ain't I? From the saddle to God knows how, when, ain't I?
We're investigating price fixing and market manipulation inside the beef packing industry in the United States. All of the small ranchers seem to be at the behest of this market manipulation scheme, at the behest of the big four. Now, just some context and background, 50 billion hamburgers are consumed a year in the United States, 100 billion around the world, but a lot of the meat from these foreign meat packers are being mixed in with the American meats, contaminating the American meat.
Now, some industry participants described what they viewed as pricing pressure. One of our undercover reporters spoke to Gustavo Peranos. He's the marketing director at FERA Diagnostics, a firm that helps farmers detect cow diseases and boost herd productivity. Here's what he shared.
Son muy duro para comunicación.
¿En qué es como ellos no quieren hablar con nadie? ¿Y por qué será eso?
No sé.
¿Tú crees? Ah, porque están cometiendo
alguna cosa. Porque los mercados, ellos cerraron el mercado todo es de ellos.
Oh.
Y de Brasil, Estados Unidos también. JBS también es más fuerte hoy también. En Brasil también, con gobierno, con todo que ayuda. Está todo muy duro.
They can knock you out of this industry in 2 seconds.
Beef prices have climbed sharply across the United States, even as many cattle producers say their bargaining power has declined. At the center of the debate are four companies that control at least 80% of the beef industry: Tyson Foods, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef. As federal investigators, the Department of Justice are reviewing this Big Four, questions are arising about market consolidation into the Big Four and how it's impacted how beef prices are set throughout the supply chain from the farm all the way to your grocery store shelf. To understand what's happening, we went where the industry gathers, speaking with insiders working across every level of the cattle business at CattleCon in Nashville, Tennessee.
West Virginia, mountain love, sing home,
Over the past few decades, mergers and acquisitions reduced dozens of regional processors into four dominant companies. Ranchers from all over the country say that consolidation changed who holds leverage in the negotiations. Industry participants told us that as processing capacity consolidated, selling cattle increasingly meant selling to the same small group of buyers. Because cattle must pass through large packing plants before reaching consumers, fewer packing plants means fewer options for the ranchers.
We're basically four companies, and they pretty much control the market.
Yeah, does that affect your business?
Well, yeah, there's no competition.
Aquí no lo compra más que todos los brasileños.
Oh, el JBS.
Porque los mercados, ellos cerraron el mercado todo de ellos.
Several vendors and service providers told us the reach of those processors extends beyond cattle purchases, shaping whether surrounding businesses remain financially stable when disruptions occur. In theory, these packing plants should be competing against each other for cattle, but several industry insiders told us pricing doesn't feel competitive, but rather coordinated.
Do you think JBS, do you think they're doing price fixing at all, or...
I'm going to say yes and no. I'm going to say no because they don't have to, because they're in bed with their other three competitors.
Tyson, yeah. And okay.
Scott says JBS is, quote, in bed with the competitors. There's that market manipulation that we've heard a lot about.
They all pretty much bid the same anymore,
okay.
The four majors. They go, okay, you don't bid against me on that, on this bunch. I won't bet against you, but no, they'll beat each other to death all day long.
Really?
I think it's an open secret here at CattleCon. Everyone's pretty much telling us the same thing, that they're all in bed together. It's actually against the law. It is up to the Department of Justice to do something about it. They're admitting, all the vendors, all the ranchers, even the big four, admitting that there's bid rigging and price fixing.
So we're bidding against our own competitive people,
sure.
You know, and when we get all done with them and have to sell them, there's no competition at all.
You know, they say they don't talk to each other, but what they say and what's true are two different things.
Well, good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. James O'Keefe dropping a bombshell report and one that is worthy of your attention. It's a great one. It is one to go look out for. He just posted this yesterday. The full film, obviously, is available right now on his platform, on X. But folks, this was a good one. Why? Well, in case you don't recall, we've reported it here on InfoWars. The Antitrust Division launched an investigation at the request of President Donald J. Trump. Now, that investigation was launched because, well, there's a beef cartel out there. There's four big cartels that are controlling beef prices. And President Trump wanted to know, well, why are these prices still high? Why aren't they bringing these prices down? And that is exactly what the Antitrust Division is supposed to be looking into right now. Folks, it is quite the enlightening film. We did have actually a cattle rancher on this program. You might recall just a couple months back before the investigation was launched. And this rancher was telling us specifically what you just heard there. There was a group, specifically there's one in Brazil, that controls the beef prices here in the United States. And that is the reason why prices have been significantly high for months now. While other industries are reporting a little bit of a drop in inflation and costs, the beef cartels are refusing to budge. And that is exactly what you see in James's latest report. So again, James O'Keefe doing an incredible job. I highly recommend you all check that out and add it to your calendar for this weekend, because he did an incredible job at exposing how they are holding this country hostage. Again, that comes as the president signed an order trying to crack down on all of the beef cartels. There's four significant ones, of course, and so we highly recommend you look into that. But a lot's been going on over these last few days, and thanks to Rob Dew for filling in for me while I was gone. But folks, I was in D.C. for a bit. It was quite the enlightening experience, many of you guys know. Yesterday was the State of the Union. We'll get into that with Matthew Marsden, who will be joining our show in just a few moments. In about 15 minutes, he'll be joining us to recap what happened yesterday. at the State of the Union. We'll also be discussing a lot of other things as well. You know, the CIA released a document, and I don't think anyone realizes it, but of course here on InfoWars, nothing gets past us. The latest document that I'll be diving into later in the program shows that, hold on, another conspiracy theory is actually right. The CIA was using and testing drugs on people and trying to manipulate their minds. It's quite obvious. We have the document. It was even prior to MKUltra. I'll bring you the latest document dump that has made its way to the internet after it was recently declassified and posted online by the CIA directly. They're hoping you didn't see this one, but we saw it. And we'll bring you the information on all of that. We'll also be diving into the latest regarding Jeffrey Epstein. As many of you guys know, it's not over yet. Bill Gates actually just recently spoke to employees, and he's admitting to, well, the Russian women angle might actually be true. I'll break down that story for you in just a bit as well. But most importantly, when I was in D.C., I actually met up with a lot of incredible people. As many of you guys know, friends with Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah Gonzalez was on the ground, and she was doing some incredible reporting. We'll bring you that. I'll give you a little bit of a teaser. When I was in D.C. as well, he posted it on Twitter, so I guess I could tease it now. I met up with a good friend of mine, Tommy Robinson, who was able to make his way into the United States. He actually just posted to Twitter this morning about it. He will be sitting down on InfoWars next week exclusively. He'll be joining both myself, Alex, and Harrison Smith, and we look forward to having him in studio. But it's going to be an incredible, incredible discussion, and it was great to catch up with him. So Tommy Robinson making his way into the United States, and he'll be joining InfoWars next week, and we look forward to just that. Also, we'll be discussing throughout today's show a lot that's happening in Mexico, as many of you guys may have saw over the weekend. There was a lot of violence between the cartels and the Mexican government. Jorge Ventura actually went there and was on the ground. He'll be joining us today to break us the latest information that the government, of course, doesn't want you knowing about, but most importantly, the media won't tell you about, because Jorge Ventura is an independent journalist who's doing an incredible job on the ground. We'll also be joined by Ken Silva as well. As many of you know, he is the editor over at Headline USA. A lot to dive into, because that Iranian plot to kill President Trump, well, one of those suspects is actually, well, his trial is starting. His criminal trial is starting. And Ken Silva has been following just that. So he'll be joining us to break down the very latest. And I'll also be joined by Kevin Smith, because we have to do a recap. There was a lot going on in D.C. A lot of brave conservative women. Man, conservative women, I'm sorry, but when it comes to them, they actually are going out there and confronting a lot of these corrupt politicians. I don't see the men doing it as much as the women doing it. You know, we'll talk about Sarah Gonzalez, Alyssa Steinberger as well, we'll also be talking about Kara Castronova, who's on the ground, also confronting James Raskin. So there's a lot of brave conservative women going out there and confronting the corrupt politicians. And it's enlightening. And it's not just Democrats, too. They're also confronting Republicans. So we look forward to that. Oh, by the way, Gavin Newsom, he's a racist. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Gavin Newsom he thinks that he's relatable by telling Black people that they're not very intelligent, and he's not very intelligent either. That was literally the way he was trying to reason with them. It's so crazy. But folks, this is what's going on right now in this country. We have Democrats, communists who have taken over, and while they're not very bright, and they're hoping that they come off as relatable, but they obviously just sound like absolute racists, and that's exactly what we're diving into. Okay, let's kick it off with an Epstein update. I know, I get so tired of doing these Epstein updates. I'm like, if I don't see a real arrest here in the United States, I feel like I have to specify on that. I'm just over it. Not that I want to let go of the topic itself, but I'm just over it as to, I'm just over covering all these documents, because all it feels like right now is rage bait, because no one's doing anything about this. But take a look at this. Bill Gates obviously is heavily involved in all of this. And so now he has to answer to those who are working for the Gates Foundation. Earlier, which was actually just a couple of days ago, apparently, according to several reports, he had to have a little town hall meeting with those at the Gates Foundation. And during that town hall meeting, he admitted that, yes, he actually did have multiple affairs. Now, he's, of course, only admitting to those with adult women. He claims that he did, in fact, have two affairs with Russian women while married to his ex-wife now, Melinda Gates. He had identified those two women, and I don't know why he does this, as, well, he specifically cited one of them as the, we knew about this, but the Russian nuclear physicist is one individual who he was going out there and openly saying he did have an affair with. And he also admits to having an affair with a bridge player as well. I don't know how a man who looks like Bill Gates is sleeping around that much. Most of the time, guys like him have to pay for it, but I guess maybe his women were willing participants. Quite strange, quite strange. But now he's admitting to it, and he calls it a, quote, huge mistake. Huge mistake. That's his words, not mine. He tends to just think that these are mistakes. These are intentional mistakes, right? He knows he's a married man. He knows he shouldn't be doing this. And he also refers to his relationship with Epstein as a huge mistake as well. But the reality of it is he knew that Epstein was a convicted, folks, pedophile. And when Bill Gates has to answer for all of this, he pretends like, oh, one of the richest men in the world, that he needed money for the Gates Foundation and all of his global health efforts. And so he claims that he had to develop a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein because he needed that money, because he was going to provide him with the funding. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It only makes sense, in fact, if you're actually not thinking about it. And that's what he's hoping you're doing. He's hoping you don't think about it. Now, he's also claiming that he never actually visited Epstein Island, and he never witnessed, according to those who were at the meeting, he never witnessed any of the pedophilia and sex parties that were going on at Epstein Island and on other places, which, again, doesn't sound believable because they were hanging out quite a lot. He also acknowledged that Melinda Gates is obviously very skeptical of what his ties were to Jeffrey Epstein. He did that as well. And he just wants to keep all that private. He also believes that his affairs contributed to his divorce. You know, obviously your wife would leave you if you, you know, decided to, after 27 years of marriage, decided to go around and sleeping with women. Again, I don't know how Bill Gates has options, but apparently he does. This is what's going on, though, right now. Obviously, Bill Gates is under fire. He has to do a massive, massive PR push. And so he's trying his very best to pretend like it was just two adult Russian women, nothing more. Because as many of you guys know, in the emails that were recently released, it cites, according to Epstein, Russian girls. So I don't know. I don't know. This is what's going on right now with Bill Gates. Bill Gates, obviously, is facing several allegations. But it's no surprise that he's sitting here and he's trying to run a cover up. There's also new photos that have been released, and let's get to this. These chilling new photos of Jeffrey Epstein's 18-room Paris apartment. Now, apparently this was purchased back in 2001. Now, these images have just surfaced over at a French news outlet. They were originally taken, though, a part of the 2019 police investigation into these claims that associates of Epstein were actually raping women. Now, again, no criminal charges there, but we do have these images. Now, warning, these images do include, as the New York Post has them in their article, do include sex toys, and they do include a red light massage chamber, which was believed to be used to commit these sex crimes. The guy was absolutely a horrible human being, horrible human being. Also on the walls throughout this apartment were photos plastered of naked women. It's just, he's disgusting. And he also had a lot of animal print furniture as well. Again, none of this makes, they keep telling you that Epstein obviously is a pedophile, but they won't tell you specifically who he was having these sex parties with, who he was out there inviting to his 19-room apartment in France. Obviously, there's sex toys involved in all of this. He wasn't just using those, well, himself. But they don't want to tell you the truth. And this is the big problem with everything that's being made right now, is everyone's trying to play in this cover-up, as we've seen it repeatedly unravel. I want to get to this. Haley Robson, is the woman's name. Now, she's claiming to be an Epstein victim. She was actually yesterday at the State of the Union. And this is the part that had so many conservatives unhinged yesterday, because we authentically do care about the Epstein files. We authentically do care. Again, it was our president who released it, not Joe Biden, but our president who released the Epstein files. And again, we're not happy with how they were released. But when it comes to who had them released, there's no argument there. It was President Trump. Well, Congressman Ro Khanna, Khanna is his name. He's an individual, obviously, Democrat from California, who's been out there and he's been pushing this with Thomas Massie. And again, Thomas Massie, I believe, is doing great work. And I'm 100% on his side when it comes to these Epstein files. He has been trying to apply the pressure because the administration made this campaign promise and he wants them to do right. Well, Haley Robson is the woman who is now coming forward and she's claiming to be a victim. She's been going around for quite some time, though, pretending to be a victim. And I've never really liked it. Why? Because when you listen to her story, she actually admits to being the individual who was helping traffic girls to Epstein. Now, again, she was a minor at the time, it sounds like. But folks, we can't just turn away and pretend like this is a victim when she, in fact, was being paid to do exactly what she did. Take a listen to clip one and the report, the local news report that came out citing her story. Take a listen.
I wanted a fresh start.
Haley Robson says she first met Jeffrey Epstein in 2002. She was an unsuspecting 16-year-old high schooler in West Palm Beach, Florida, when a classmate recruited her.
I was told the more you do, the more you make. I was told, you know, it would be possibly in your bra and underwear, but it would just be a massage.
She says the massage turned into something more when Epstein masturbated and fondled her. When he tried to take it further, she says she refused. That's when he offered to pay her $200 for every girl she brought to him.
Hurt people, hurt people.
Robson says she went on to recruit 8 other girls.
I brought the people that I hung out with.
Did you think you were helping them?
Yeah. When I was 16, I felt like, hey, you know, I made money. Like, do you guys want to make money?
Therapist Randy Kogan has been working with Robson for the last 2 years.
The guilt will never go away. There is not a day that goes by that I don't think about the other girls.
Yeah. So apparently she wants to say that she's a victim in all of this. But folks, she was trafficking these girls to Epstein. I'm sorry, but when a man tells you at the age of 16, even when you're 16 years old, I get it, we do stupid things when we're young. And I try not to hold people accountable because, again, especially women, our brains are still developing. We're not fully developed yet. We don't understand things. But if a man is telling you he's going to pay you to give him a massage in bra and panties, even at 16, that is sketchy. And even at 16, that should set off a lot of alarm bells in your head. So it's quite strange that she's coming out here and she's pretending to be this victim when she, in fact, was the one who's bringing victims to Epstein. To Epstein. Now, again, these aren't accusations that are being made. These are her own admissions. And so the fact that the congressman thought that it was great to bring her to the State of the Union is absolutely insane. How many women did she traumatize? Girls, at the time they were girls. How many girls did she traumatize from what she did to them? Again, a lot of this needs to be looked into, but the reality is how do you invite somebody like that to the State of the Union? Doesn't seem to make any sense. Doesn't seem to make any sense. But again, this is the problem that I have here, right? Because I do believe Thomas Massie's doing this authentically because he cares, because he's a man with a moral compass. But when it comes to these Democrats, they're only jumping on board now because they see that it's a political win for them. There's no other incentive. If there was an incentive, if they authentically did care about these victims, they would have started doing this years ago. But they're only doing it now because they see it as a weakness in the Trump administration. And they're hoping that this will get them through the midterms. And the reality of it's not. It's not. But again, it is a PR media stunt for Democrats. And it's unfortunate it's going on right now. But, you know, I'm always going to side with actual sex crime victims. So that's where I side on all of this. It's just really unfortunate that this is what Democrats continue to do, because it makes it really hard for me to continue to sit here and to support when we see what they're doing. I mean, when you're bringing in one of the traffickers who probably should be a co-defendant, I've got a major, major issue. I don't see her as a victim. I would argue maybe, okay, we don't charge her because she was 16 at the time. Okay, maybe that's understandable. But then again, how many other girls did she traumatize? Don't tell me that you're trying to stand for victims while you're sitting there and platforming a woman who created other victims. It doesn't actually scream legitimacy to your argument. Folks, in the meantime, head on over right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We're having a flash sale right now on methylene blue and methylene red right now. 25% off the methylene blue, and then it's 50% off methylene red as well. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. And again, when you head on over to the shop, you're going to see all the incredible discounts. When you subscribe too, you also get great discounts, and it's long-term. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you check it out. Again, we have this incredible sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. And when you support us, well, you help us stay on air, obviously, but most importantly, you help fund the operation so we can continue to give you the information that the American people need to see, but the media is too cowardly to do. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and support our efforts and improve your health.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. It's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum that's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind-the-scenes attacking them. They're big boys, too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But, I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right-hand corner, VIP Club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month, you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You know, say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless, other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP. 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 And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
And no nation should ever doubt America's resolve. We have the most powerful military on earth. I rebuilt the military in my first term. We're going to continue to do so. Also, we just approved a $1 trillion budget. We have no choice. We have to be strong because hopefully we will seldom have to use this great power that we built together. It's really called peace through strength, and it's been very, very effective. Our country has never been stronger. In my first 10 months, I ended 8 wars, including Cambodia. Isn't it funny? Sick people. Stock market. Let's also ensure that members of Congress cannot corruptly profit from using insider information. They stood up for that, I can't believe. I can't believe it. Did Nancy Pelosi stand up if she's here? Doubt it. I'm also confronting one of the biggest ripoffs of our times, the crushing cost of health care caused by you. Since the passage of the Unaffordable Care Act, sometimes referred to as Obamacare, big insurance companies have gotten rich. It was meant for the insurance companies, not for the people. Serving alongside Sarah that day was Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf. The terrorist shot Andrew in the head, and no one thought he could possibly make it. The two of them, Sarah and Andrew, both shot violently in the head. Neither was expected to make it. They weren't even given a chance, except his wonderful mother, named Melody, who I spoke to the same night. And she was so positive. The doctors thought that Andrew was gone. But his mother said, no, no, Mr. President, Andrew will be fine. He's going to make it. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he was given almost no chance. She said, I have no doubt, sir. He's going to be okay. This was a conversation that I had with her that night, with her son laying helplessly in bed, blood all over. Everybody is praying, she said, sir. He will be okay. The doctors didn't understand what she was saying. And after looking at the results of the damage done, neither did I. She was so strong and conclusive that even Andrew's great father felt she didn't really understand the gravity of the situation. But she turned out to be right. Right, Melanie? She turned out to be right. So, Andrew, while you're up, now I'm going to ask a highly respected General James Seward to present Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf and the great family of Sarah Beckstrom with the award created by our late great President George Washington himself. It's called the Purple Heart. The Somali pirates who ransacked Minnesota remind us that there are large parts of the world where bribery, corruption, and lawlessness are the norm, not the exception. Importing these cultures through unrestricted immigration and open borders brings those problems right here to the USA. And it is the American people who pay the price in higher medical bills, car insurance rates, rent, taxes, and perhaps most importantly, crime. We will take care of this problem. We're going to take care of this problem. We are not playing games. There is one last living legend to honor before we go. He is one more heroic American aviator. Navy fighter pilot Rhys Williams served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, flying more than 220 missions. In the skies over Korea in 1952, Royce was in the dogfight of a lifetime, legendary dogfight. Flying through blizzard conditions, his squadron was ambushed by seven Soviet fighter planes. It was his first aerial combat of the war, and despite being massively outnumbered and outgunned, Royce led the takedown of four enemy jets and almost destroyed the others, vanquishing his adversaries while taking 263 bullets to his own plane and being seriously hurt. His story was secret for over 50 years. He didn't even want to tell his wife, but the legend grew and grew. But tonight, at 100 years old, this brave Navy captain is finally getting the recognition he deserves. He was a legend long before this evening. Royce, please stand up, and I will ask the First Lady of the United States to present Captain Royce Williams with his Congressional Medal of Honor.
It was a beautiful moment yesterday in Washington, D.C. A lot of actual beautiful moments yesterday in D.C. as the president gave one of the longest State of the Union addresses. And there were too many clips to highlight in all of that. I normally wouldn't even pick a soundbite that long and put that together. And I missed out on so much more. But folks, it was an incredible, inspirational State of the Union address, even having some of the most important people that I think in this war against these communists who are trying to destroy our justice system and so much more in the room, the victims of these crimes in the room. And it was very, very interesting. The president started off his speech by highlighting all of his economic wins, which is obviously very big for this administration, something that they have been hyper-focused on. And then he also highlighted a lot other topics as well, like the SAVE Act and the need to pass that. He also highlighted the need to get rid of driver's licenses for illegal aliens. He's also pushing those Trump accounts for those newborn babies. Up to $1,000 is what those kids could start off with, which is, again, an incredible, incredible opportunity for so many. He also was highlighting his war against those, you know, AI data centers that are trying to pop up everywhere, saying that if they want to, these social media companies, start up these AI data centers, that they actually have to have their own electric grid because he's not going to allow them on the grid. And that's a big one that this administration is pushing for as well. And then, as you heard, he was pushing it back against the insider trading, which so many on the left love to do. Now, obviously, Democrats were unhinged. You heard them there. The Islamists who are somehow in our government right now were screaming because they are garbage human beings. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Matthew Marsden joins us right now. He is a contributor for Blaze TV. He's also an actor and a producer as well. And he is here today to react to what we saw unravel yesterday. All right, Marsden, I was going through and watching yesterday, and I was trying to condense this all down into just a couple of minutes. And unfortunately, I got to 6 minutes here, but there was even more that I left out yesterday in the State of the Union address. So what were your thoughts last night when you were watching the nearly 2 hour speech?
Well, firstly, Brianna, thank you for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure. What I'd like to highlight first is, as someone that came here as a legal immigrant into the country, I used to watch things like the State of the Union with envy. I loved when the president would get up there and be patriotic. And I think this was probably the most patriotic of any State of the Union that I've ever seen. And I think, you know, after 4 years of Biden, we really needed something optimistic. We really needed a vision of the way that America is going to be moving forward in the future. And I think that Trump laid it out. I thought it was an absolutely magnificent State of the Union speech. And I'm not just saying that because I am a Trump fan. I think it was. I think that most sensible people would see that. I mean, he spoke for 2 hours, like the longest State of the Union in history. And this guy, I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore, but I think you'd be hard pushed to find a tougher, more energetic person. I mean, I was watching and I'm like, how can he keep talking? I mean, I was watching it at my house. Then I got in the car, went and picked my daughter up. I got back. I was still watching it. It was really quite amazing. And I think that what he showed there, Brianna, is there's a really stark difference between what most Americans want for this country and what the Democrats do. I mean, for me, it was probably the most staggering thing I have ever seen and should mean that no Democrat should ever, ever, ever get into office again. When they stayed seated, when he asked about, are you going to prioritize the American people over illegals? And they sat down. I mean, that is unbelievable to me. I mean, these people are, let's call it what it is, they're traitors. They're traitors to the United States of America. If you are going to prioritize illegals over American citizens, you should be out of office. It was a disgrace.
Yeah, and Marsden, by the way, you're not the only one who feels that way about this speech. There was a CNN poll that took place immediately after the speech, and when it comes to how Americans feel about his State of the Union speech, 63% said they feel actually positive, while 36% said negative. I think that shows the tone that this country is currently in. Now, obviously, this administration has its flaws, like any administration, and we do criticize those flaws quite often, but this was a moment, this was an opportunity for the American people to celebrate, and that was interesting because I was flying back from D.C. last last night, and I'm listening to it as it's going on. And even from listening to it up in the air to landing to getting off the airplane to getting in my car to getting home with my dog, I mean, the man is still speaking. And I'm like, at what point is he going to stop? We have been so let down by the last regime that they were unable to, you know, prop Joe Biden up there for a couple of minutes. And then that was it. The drugs would wear off and he'd be back to rogue town. But President Trump really setting the bar high with a 2-hour speech last night. I thought it was quite impressive. There was a lot of individuals who were intentionally trying to be divisive during the entire speech. But I have to give credit when credit's due. I want to put up this video of John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, because he's, and I never thought I'd be this way about him, but he is actually one of the most logical members of Congress right now. It's specifically, obviously, in the Senate. But he's very, very logical. He actually was the only one who shook President Trump's hand. And I think that's very telling. Again, I mean, he is a Democrat. I thought he was going to be far, far left, but he even appears to be reasonable. And I love the fact that President Trump was poking a little bit at Nancy Pelosi as well. There was a moment during the speech, too, where they panned over to Pelosi and she looked hammered. I mean, her and her friend looked like they were passed out. They looked drunk as a skunk. And this isn't like an over-exaggeration. I mean, the woman is barely holding on and her friend is falling asleep. But it's not because the speech was boring. It's probably because, you know, the vodka martinis dried up after a few minutes. And it wasn't just that, too. We're going to go through all the Dems who were very unhinged. There was also, obviously, Al Green, who was kicked out because, you know, he had a sign that said, I don't even know where he was going with this, but he had a sign. I thought it was an edit. I didn't even know because I was at this point, I'm listening audio only. Black people aren't apes. And I don't know if anyone's ever accused black people of being apes, especially in this administration. Now, I thought, again, this was just an AI photo when I saw it. But it turns out it actually really did happen. And then we had this moment, too. I'm going to get to clip 9 because Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were acting like absolute animals during all of this. They're classless women who hate this country, well, because they're a bunch of jihadists. But take a listen to how they were acting while President Trump was speaking.
Who blocked the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases, drug lords, murderers all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country. And you should be ashamed of yourself.
Now, listen, I'm used to Rashida Tlaib, obviously. You know, the image that's burned in my head, the video of her getting dragged out of one of President Trump's rallies with no bra on, just a hot mess all over the place, is something that I can't unsee. So this is right up her alley. Obviously, Ilhan Omar is very upset as well. No one knows why she's upset, though. Probably because, I don't know. I don't know why she's upset. When it comes to how much money she's made off of all of this, the woman's a multimillionaire. Marsden, and we've given her that golden ticket. You know, the guy who she's married to now was actually married beforehand. She actually has separated more families, given the fact that she had an alleged affair with this married man, and then he left his wife for her. So if she's upset at anyone, and she constantly is going after President Trump for separating families, she's done more than President Trump has. Your reaction to those on the left being a bunch of unhinged animals?
Okay, well, firstly, I'd like to say this. There is no one that loves this country more than me. As an immigrant to this country, I appreciated everything that America has to offer to the world. And I considered it an absolute privilege to be able to come here and to become an American. It is the greatest country the world has ever seen. And we don't need to be turning it into third world hellholes like the places that these people came from. Now, with that in mind, you see what happens when the benevolence of a country is taken advantage of. If it was up to me, I would ban any immigrant. And that I'm saying that as someone came over here legally who loves the country, that I would love to represent people in this wonderful country that I live in. But we should be banning people who come here from being able to run and go into Congress. It's as simple as that. You should not be able to do it as a first generation immigrant or even a second generation immigrant. You should not be able to run for Congress, because what you're seeing now, clearly, she prioritizes the people that are Somalian in her district. It's as simple as that. We all know it. And I don't think that should be possible. What you're seeing is, As I said before, I mean, what is going on when you have Somalians that come into this country, and Donald Trump highlighted it, Somalians are coming into this country and defrauding this country out of millions and millions and millions, if not billions of dollars. It's a disgrace. And by the way, talking about criticizing the administration, I don't want to put a downer on this, but unless I start seeing arrests and people going to jail and being deported for what they've done in Minnesota, I won't be happy. And it is easy for us kind of to forget all the wins that we've had, and we have had a lot, which is why the State of the Union is such a great thing. You can cast your mind back, and there's so many things that you forget, right? There's so many things that we get that incremental win and we move on because we want the big wins. But I think that unless we start seeing people going to jail for what they've done, and which to me is, it's traitorous. If you come into this country, which, by the way, look, if you're going to allow someone to come into the country illegally, you're not going to punish them for it. You're not going to ask them to have certain kind of documents to get in here, which we know they don't have when they come from Somalia. Then what do you expect? You are enabling them to continue with their fraud. So that needs to end. And as far as Fetterman is concerned, he's the biggest shock to me, because guess what, Brianna? He is a Democrat that actually cares about the people that he represents. Isn't it shocking that he actually looks at the policies that are going to benefit the people in his area, and he says, you know what? This works for me. This works for my people. I'm going to put that over indoctrination. I'm going to put it in front of all of the agendas that the Democrats have, which appears at this. I don't know how you can look at what they do and say that they're not trying to destroy the United States of America. That is not hyperbole anymore. It really isn't. They are trying to destroy this country. And John Fetterman is having none of it. So, yeah, it's surprising, but it shows you, what does Trump do? In the same way that he reached out to Tulsi Gabbard, in the same way that he reached out to RFK, who were Democrats, he's saying, listen, I'm here. I will work with you. I will work with you if you want what's best for the American people. And that's what Fetterman wants. And I'd suspect that the people in his district, in his state, are very happy with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, I know he's got to obviously play it down a little bit and be a moderate because he is in Pennsylvania. But again, I mean, he's done a pretty decent job. And I honestly didn't think he was going to be this good at playing the moderate role. I know, obviously, his wife, who is an illegal alien, I've been very critical of her, but he's done an incredible job. And so we got to give credit when credit's due. And the fact that he had enough respect to shake the president's hand, and he's fair when he gives his criticisms, I think. So that's all you could ask for at this point. But the left has gone so far off the hinges. I want to also highlight yesterday that, you know, those in the minority usually give the response after the State of the Union. And for some strange reason, Democrats thought that it was best to give a CIA spook that opportunity. That's Abigail Spansberg, as many of you guys, Berger. She's now the governor of Virginia, and she's radicalized Virginia over these last few weeks. She's pushed forward all these ideas of radical agenda through legislation that she wants, also these executive orders, no longer working with ICE. She's obviously someone who doesn't hide her ties to the CIA. For some reason, Democrats don't care to platform her. It's quite strange they gave her the opportunity. But yesterday when she was speaking, they actually looks like it was pre-taped and it was edited, her response to the president's speech. So it didn't appear to be live. I want to take a look at clip 11 and get your take on this.
1705, the people of the Virginia colony gathered here to take on the extraordinary task of the United States was founded on the idea that ordinary people could reject the unacceptable excesses of poor leadership, band together to demand better of their government, and create a nation that would be an example for the world.
All right, Marzen, it's quite obvious that they edited that one. I don't know why they would do that. It's really, really strange. She was also struggling to read the teleprompter, too. When she was talking about China, she actually cited Russia and then corrected herself. So this is someone who they're platforming, and they're trying to make it seem like she might actually be the future leader of the Democratic Party. That's why they usually give her, give someone this opportunity. But she's not quite all there. The CIA, I guess, hasn't done a good enough job training her. Your take on her response yesterday to President Trump's speech.
Well, I think what you have to look at is the contrast between her and Trump. And what you get with Trump, which we've said for years and years, whether you like it or not, he is absolutely authentic. You know, for me as an actor, watching him speak off the cuff, for him improvising, which comes from 17 years of being in front of the cameras, he's amazing. I mean, I really don't think we will see, certainly in my lifetime, we'll see another president quite like him, because he is brilliant at that. You know, the way he stops, you always know when he goes off on one, right? Like he sees he's going through the teleprompter and then he's like, you know what? I'm going to improvise. I'm going to go off. I'm going to spike them. And what that comes from is being absolutely authentic and knowing who you are. And in contrast, you're seeing this woman who looks like an NPC, right? She looks like, this is the way I do. I smile at this point. This is the way I read the teleprompter. I can see it from 1,000 yards, right? I think most people can anyway. But as an actor, I see it from 1,000 yards, the way that she's clearly been coached. But look, they don't have a bench. They don't have a bench, and all they have for their policies is we aren't Trump. And that is losing. It is an absolute losing proposition. When you look around the Democratic Party, instead of saying, you know, maybe we should go to Fetterman, I know that might sound crazy, or what I think they'll do is they'll go to someone like Matthew McConaughey, or they'll go to someone like The Rock, and they'll try and get them to start moving into politics. But, I mean, you've got Gavin Newsom. Good luck with that. I fled the communist state of California under him. Jasmine Crockett, really? And then this woman, they don't have anyone. Yet, if you look at our side, we've got Ron DeSantis is still out there. We've got J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, who was highlighted in the speech, who's been absolutely phenomenal. Everyone knew that Marco Rubio was a great senator, but what he's done in this role has been absolutely spectacular. If they carry on like this, there is no way they will win in the foreseeable future. Seriously, I think the only way that they can win is through cheating. So, and by the way, here's the other thing. The Democrats always used to go to Hollywood for their visuals. If you look at the production, even under, you know, that horrendous thing that Biden did, where he was standing there and it was red behind, it looked like, you know, a Nazi rally. It was still lit and shot really, really well. This looks like an amateur production. So I don't know what's going on with them. They were always a lot slicker than the Republicans. Now you've got someone who understands television, who understands the entertainment industry, coming in and taking over that. The production from the Republican side far exceeds that of the Democrats now. So I don't know what's going on, but they are losing massively right now. And yeah. I'm kind of happy about that, quite frankly.
You're not alone, Marzen. We're all very happy about that. Folks, give Matthew Marzen a follow on X right this second. Head on over, Matthew D. Marzen. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program and hear your takes on all things related to immigration and much, much more. Marzen, thanks for joining the show today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us,
We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.